David Abramson. He is a psychologist in private practice. He's joining us in studio. David, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Good morning, Zanati.
Good morning.
You've lost your voice, Zanati.
No, she hasn't lost her voice. What are you going on about?
Howard, you've robbed her of her voice.
Exactly. It's like the Little Mermaid all over again. Right, David, so you're a psychologist in private practice, and we need your help. Because we've seemed to have entered into a phase in our development, or the development of the world and the way things are going, that our kids are very, very hard to protect. It's very hard to protect. Now, we've spoken about this in terms of social media, in terms of what they're seeing on their phones. And it's that whole, the fact that the stuff is coming from everywhere. But, and I'm going to use an example of the Jewish Report, but it's not really about the Jewish Report at all. There was a headline in the Jewish Report some weeks ago that said Israeli woman or Israeli tourist raped in South Africa, etc. And I was at some people for dinner that Friday night, and they happened to have a 10-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old daughter, and they kept making sure that the newspaper was turned down. And it was an interesting thing, and in fact I phoned Peter Crost on the Monday, and we spoke about it. So, and I don't want to make it about the Jewish Report, because I know, for example, how they deliberate and really consider what they're putting in the paper. And every newspaper, really, I would hope, that has a responsible editor is doing the same thing. But effectively what's happening is some of the conversations that we might not be ready to have with our 10-year-old and our 8-year-old are coming at us. And we have – the only choice we have is to either discuss it or to sort of hide the paper and to hide things away from them. But I'm not sure that that's practical. And I only saw it because I was with friends who had young kids. My daughter happens to be 14, and these are conversations that we are having because she's at an age that we need to talk about it, and our boys are at the age that we need to talk about these things. But to some extent, media is setting the agenda for what we talk about. How much control do we actually have around the around media, and how important is it to protect our children from some of the very ugly stuff that is out there?
Howard, it's such a good question, because I think, you know, when we spoke about this topic, you know, I was thinking, it's so interesting how there's so many age restrictions in other things like movies and magazines and TV programs, but when it comes to newspapers, for example, there are no age restrictions, and it might be something that's completely impractical.
Right.
But on some level, absolutely, we don't have control to a large degree when we're driving on the, you know, along the road, and we see adverts for papers with very, very graphic headlines that, you know, shout out. And, you know, the old saying, if it bleeds, it leads, you know.
Yes.
Newspapers want to sell, and they'll sell with very, very eye-catching and sometimes graphic headlines. And so I think it is very difficult for us as adults to control what our children see. You know, we leave the paper lying around on a desk. But at the same time, it leaves a dilemma, because I do think it is important that we protect our children as much as we can from certain things. And obviously it depends on their age and their temperament. I mean, certain kids are obviously who are less anxious, maybe who are more worldly, have the temperament where they're able to read things and put things in perspective and able to have conversations about, you know, incidents that happen around us, without being traumatized. But you do, again, get children who are, and they can be older, you know, I'm talking about in their teens, who read about things, and they have got that voice spoken about, that seed of anxiety. And it can really, really cause that seed of anxiety to grow. So we are caught, because you know, we are bombarded with so much news and often very graphic news. And it's hard to control that. But at the same time, we do need to control as much as we can, depending on our child's age and their temperament, you know, what they see. So it's a difficult one. It really is.
So what is the answer? I mean, what are we meant to do as parents? Yeah. Because it's very hard for us to set our own agenda.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, again, thinking about this, you know, and I wanted to put it out there, you know, wouldn't it be appropriate or would it be impractical for newspapers to have a covering, you know, sometimes like the Sunday Times has a cover over it, you know, with some adverts and hide some of the headlines? And would it be practical for news outlets to say this edition, you know, there is content in this edition which is not appropriate for certain ages? Would that not be practical? Maybe not. But I think the most important thing is, you know, we divide it up into ages. And I think if your child is 7 and below, then really it is about trying to protect them and trying to not let them listen to violent, graphic descriptions on the radio, in the newspaper. And then, you know, when we talk about children from about, and we obviously, you know, just using very broad developmental ages, but from 12 down, you know, children are more exposed to the world, and they hear things from their friends. And I think, you know, that's the time where we need to open up communication and let our kids know that if there's any news that they hear, you know, it's important they come and talk to us about it so that we can give them perspective. We can help them understand, you know, the news in context. And then obviously, you know, as we move into high school, that's a completely different, you know, kettle of fish where I think for me it's really about trying to empower, you know, young people. What can you do about the situation?
Right.
What do you think
right.
about the situation? But again, I think with all the ages, it's important to let your children and your teenagers know that you are open to communicate about things, because especially the younger kids, you know, you don't want younger kids educating your children about the world on the playground, because
right.
again, it might be very, very misleading information. You'd rather want your child to come to you and say, you know what I heard today from a friend, what do you think? And often children, certainly from about 10 downwards, and certainly from 7 downwards for sure, struggle to understand proximity. Where did this happen? How
right.
often does this happen?
Right.
And then distinguish between fantasy and reality. So I think that's very important to, you know, to open up that communication for all ages. You know, no matter what the age.
So you've got to have that communication, but the level of it and the detail of it is what you need to try and manage.
Absolutely, because we can't. It's so difficult, as you say, you know, newspapers lying around.
Well, in fact, interesting, Dorf says, my kids keep seeing giant ads for Sexpo, and they ask me what that's about. They're 13, 12, and 8. I just tell them it's for adults and leave it at that.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that, you know, I think Dorf's, it's a very, very good example where we, you know, we have, you know, well, I listen to you in the morning when I drive to work, and I hear you say, listen, the kids are in the car.
So we try. We yeah. try between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock, or 7 o'clock and 7:45, when we know their children, or when we know that the kids are in the car, not to have conversations that could be very disturbing. But it doesn't always mean that we can manage that.
No, absolutely. But I'm bringing up that point because, as Dov says, you know, there are certain times where kids are in the car, where kids are more available to see things. And I think for me, you know, the media could be a lot more sensitive to those times and be more careful about what they publish.
And I guess where they put it.
It's always often, as we know, on the front page, as we said, if it bleeds, it leads, and children see this. So I think it is very difficult to hide it. Let's keep the communication open.
Time is 8:20. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Taking a look at some of your SMSs. Ian says, morning, Howard and David. As tough as it is to have these discussions, conversations with our children, especially at a younger age, I would prefer that my children feel comfortable to come and talk to me about these issues rather than having to find out somewhere else. Unfortunately, what David is suggesting about restricting access and giving warnings is like trying to switch off the internet. Intention is good, but not realistic. It's time parents woke up and accepted that we live in a fractured world, and we need a different approach to communicate and engage with our children. David, your thoughts?
Absolutely. As we were saying, it isn't practical to hide, all information and switch off the radio and switch off the TV. But I think for me, I think it is being taken seriously more and more. If you take the time to search the web and the internet and look around, there are more and more sites which are accommodating children and are making sure that children are protected. Like, for example, there's a site, Time for Kids, which is a site which is mainly, I would say, for tweens. But really what it is a news site which you can go onto, which talks about, it does talk about frank facts for want of a better word, but really leaving out the disturbing details. So, those are the kind of sites which we're seeing more and more of, where you can feel comfortable saying to your child, go to the site, and you can just let them read, because they've already been edited, and it certainly will give them the news without traumatizing them. So there's also a site called News-O-Matic. It's aimed at 7 to 10 year olds, and it is a paid site, but it's very, very every day 5 articles about current affairs is posted to this, to the site, to the app, and your child can read it and really stay in touch with the world
in a way that is child friendly.
In a way that is child friendly. So again, we see more and more of these sites coming up where you can feel that things are safe to read, and so again, you can guide your child in that way.
Right.
It's not always your responsibility to just try and say, well, hang on, what do I edit, what do I not? So if you take the time to search for these things, they actually are there. And
so I guess my question is this, David, is does all of this news rob us of the ability to parent our children in a way that we would like, or does this all mean actually we just need to readjust what it means to parent our children today?
I think we just need to readjust. I mean, we are not in control. We never have really been in control, but just more so these days of what our children hear and see. Our children still went to school and were, years ago, and were exposed to what other kids have, had seen in their homes or had, read in their homes. But today it's more of an issue. So, with so much available, so much information, that I do think we need to adjust, and we need to, as the listener said, it's not realistic to hide. It's just not. We can't do it. So it's really about, as we say, opening communication, understanding your child, and giving them the correct and appropriate information, if they are receiving the wrong information or inappropriate information.
So, David, let's wrap up the subject. What's your final thoughts on it?
Often we wonder why so many kids have got anxiety these days. It's just huge. And I certainly, and my colleagues, when I talk to them, tend to say that anxiety is without doubt the number one symptom or cause emotional difficulty that they treat. And I think, not completely, but partly is because I think we today see our kids as being so advanced and so worldly because they are exposed to so much information. But I think we often forget that our kids are still kids, and by being exposed to things that they're not ready to hear about, no doubt makes the anxiety epidemic worse. So I think it's important to keep in mind that we, where we can, I think, try and protect our children where we can, where we can switch off the radio, change channels if there's graphic news, where we can turn the paper over, maybe that they don't have to see the, that picture or that graphic headline. Absolutely. But I do think for me, I think really what we're coming back to, Howard, is just staying in communication with our children, making sure, again, keeping in touch with what their questions are, giving them
age-appropriate information.
And also just know your child, hey, because I think, you know, some children are
innate. It's so true that if we've, you know, those of us who have had more than one child notice kids are very different.
Absolutely.
And some kids are going to be very sensitive and see that headline or listen to something on the news or see it on their phone and become disturbed, whereas another might just simply ignore it.
I know, it never ceases to amaze me how you can have not only different children, but different, you know, siblings can handle things so differently.
Right.
So again, just know your child's temperament. And if there is a predisposition to anxiety, that sensitivity to the world, you know, when we talk about having that, you know, it sounds so negative, but that thinner skin, that child who worries about, you know, that person collecting money on the street, you know, mom, dad, will that person be okay?
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, where you get that sense that the person feels the world.
Yeah, we were always amazed. I'll never forget driving. We were going on holiday one year, and we had, I think, four kids at the time, all in, you know, young and in the back of the car. And we drove past a scene of an accident where a guy had been knocked off his motorbike. And three of our kids were kind of, an accident. And one of them took this on and was devastated, absolutely devastated. And it was true to his nature. He had a very thin, almost protection layer.
Right.
And absorbed these things.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I think for me, and, you know, as you're saying, know your child and know what their predisposition is to this kind of information. So yeah, keep close to them and communicate with them and make sure that they feel comfortable to talk to you about things, because in the end, you know, as the listener said earlier, you want to be the person giving them information.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Time is 8:40. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. We're going to be back with David in just a moment. We're going to take some traffic. We are still trying to get hold of Luba. But in the absence of that, David, I want to come back to another conversation that I would like your assistance on, and that is about vaping. We have spoken about it, some of the medical details, but I think that we need to understand how to deal with our kids on it. David, I do want to come back to the vaping conversation.
And, absolutely. I mean, we spoke about vaping a couple of months ago, and it's so interesting.
I think before we knew the level.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over the last couple of months, it's actually, you know, when I think back to our parents, Howard, and cigarettes, they all, you know, often speaking to our parents, did you smoke? And often they said, well, certainly my parents said that they started smoking. They looked in the mirror. It was really cool.
Well, my late grandmother told me that her father taught her to smoke.
Right, because they didn't know.
That socially, he wanted her to be able to smoke properly and look right when she smoked.
Yes, because it was just, you know, how do you look?
Mm.
And I think for me, a similar thing has happened to our teenagers where, you know, not enough information was out there. Vaping was seen as definitely a much healthier alternative to smoking. And certainly, you know, as we've seen all the wonderful flavors, you know, bubblegum, lime, and so.
Look, there's now no disputing how dangerous it is.
We have had now, I think there has been officially 13 deaths now.
Right.
In the last couple of months,
and those are the short-term problems that have suddenly developed. We don't even know the long-term effects.
Absolutely. So just like in the past, where our parents started to discover that smoking, nicotine, tobacco was terrible for your health, we're now starting to see as people are smoking it more, the effects, and as research is catching up, that vaping is very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
As I say, we've seen.
And these are conversations that you're absolutely obligated to have with your children.
I think that's why it's so important that we talk about it today again, just to bring it up, because now we are seeing the facts, and the facts are that it is potentially life-threatening. So I think it's important that we be very empathic with our children about it, but very emphatic. So really understand that it seems to be nice. It seems, you know, all these misperceptions around it. It seems to be innocuous, but very so. Be empathic, but emphatic that now we are seeing that this is, you know, can be absolutely detrimental to your health and even life threatening. So
absolutely.
So right. I think for me, it's important to, as very similarly to the last discussion we had, is to address it with our children and make sure that they are aware of how you feel about it.